morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing?
Full.
Full. Good. Still full two days later. And you didn't get trampled on Black Friday or anything?
We did all of ours online. We're cyber people.
You're cyber, so you're good and in great shape.
I would take you for one of those that sits out in his tent and sits in the front of the store. No?
No. In fact, I mock those people.
You're the opposite.
It's like the first thing that comes to mind, the guy that camps out 10 days early. Why aren't you working? You took your vacation. Okay.
Very, very good, McKay. Well, we all made it. Fantastic. Hope everybody had a great holiday and was able to spend some time in those houses that were sold this year with their families. And so definitely glad to be here and keep on moving through things. We still got a month left before we close out the end of the year. And, boy, it's going to go quick, but Thanksgiving will be a little later this year. Next thing we know, Christmas will be here.
There's a lot of holidays, Christmas. It's a great time of the year, and it definitely has an impact on business, doesn't it, Lance?
Definitely. We were running hard before, and it'll be a quick 3 weeks to kind of close things out and get a couple more closed and get ready for, I hate to say it, but get ready for 2014 already. So we always like to start off with a little bit what's happening in the local media affecting real estate and stuff. We saw numbers come out this last week that local employment numbers up about 3.2% non-farm jobs over last October. And the majority of the segments contributing to that, construction and education. So we talked a little bit about construction overall numbers, the increase being up about 8% on last week's show. So that kind of running hand in hand with what's going on with employment there. There was also a big auction this last week. If there's major property moved, we always like to kind of report on that. And we took it to hockey last week. We took the celebrity real estate news story. We traced back the rental to Scott Gomez last week on the celebrity story with the New York Herald. We're going to do it again. Red Mountain, there was a huge auction out there, and a Canadian investment company outbid some of the local wine industry representatives and bought an entire chunk of 670 acres that lie out there in the Red Mountain viticultural area. And that auction price ended up going at about $8.3 million.
Wow.
So big, big investment. How we're going to bring that back to hockey is the same company owns the Vancouver Canucks and Rogers Arena.
Oh.
So it's strange how all that kind of intertwines, but making a big, big play with some super expensive land out there.
Hockey bucks.
So we do like to see those are big investment dollars from outside of our area. People kind of taking notice and spending money in this Tri-Cities region. So glad to see that successful auction there done. And we do have for you a celebrity real estate story also. So you've seen the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination and all the books and stuff over the last couple months. Well, it was interesting. In the winter of 1963, John and Jacqueline Kennedy, they had purchased 39 acres outside of Virginia, and they had built and designed a home together, and they finished it in October of 1963. Mm. They ended up only being able to spend 2 weekends there before JFK was assassinated in Dallas. So it's really interesting, but the house has had three owners since. 50 years later, on the market for $10.9 million. It's kind of crazy to look at the pictures and stuff, though. The house has been largely unchanged, but the property that it's on is just absolutely gorgeous. So incredible property, big piece of history, historical property being sold there. For, $11 million. That's a chunk of change.
It really is.
So you can have 670 acres in Red Mountain for $8.3 million, or you can have the former Kennedy estate. Well, we always, towards the end of the year, we like to get an update on not only what's been happening in the real estate market, but it affects a lot of people's portfolios and their decisions in the real estate market. And that's what's going on with investments. So we have financial planner Mr. Derek Russell here from Professional Investment Management Services. Derek, we haven't had you on the show in a couple of months. How's everything been going?
Everything's great. Thanks for having me back, guys. You know, normally you call me and you ask, what are people asking you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We like to see what's happening right now. And, you know, people are saying, you know, and they're always trying to figure out, it's coming up. We've got about a month left here. What are people concerned about this time of year? What can they still do towards the end of the year?
Well, there's a lot of simple things you can do. The most important thing, I think, is that it's a great chance to review your portfolio. The market's had a good year up to date. The S&P is up about 25%, which
is an incredible number.
Incredible. To be honest, it's the last time we had a comparable number was 2009. But if you remember, that was coming off a really bad bear year. 2008 wasn't exactly a treat. So this year is one of those years where it does surprise some people, because being up 25%, people have been waiting for the market to, we'll call it, correct. And we just haven't really seen that yet, and it may be because, you know, bonds aren't as attractive right now. They have some lower yields, that sort of thing. But stocks right now, if you're looking at risk and reward, people are still buying stocks. Now, you know, in 2014, I don't know if that'll continue, and we'll discuss that. But it's interesting, and that's maybe why you should have your review, because if you're going to wait to have your review, you might miss the ball a little bit. And part of that review is just checking up your checks and balances, making sure you've taken your required minimum distributions if you're over 70.5. You know, checking some tax ideas. Tax ideas don't work quite as well when the market's way up. Might get stuck with some capital gains.
Gotcha.
There's not as much urgency there. But it's probably a good time to call your financial advisor and just, even if it's just a quick phone call, just chat about the year, make sure you're hitting your goals.
Well, one of the things we always tell people is that your overall financial health is a mixture of real estate and investments. And I just cringe over here when I heard you say the market went up 25%, because I thought, what if my house value had gone up 25%? You know, so the fact that people can, you know, park money in those different avenues and get those type of returns and see what the market has done. Yeah, that's really fantastic. But you kind of alluded a little bit to the fact that the market has done so well that eventually we see that sometimes be an early leading indicator that rates are going to change as far as interest rates, which affects real estate.
Yeah, my concern, and we all talked about it, Tom and Lance, just on the way in today, I'm a little concerned with where are people going to feel comfortable with interest rates? And that's where Tom comes into play, because my worry is that are people going to think that 6 and 7%, is that a high interest rate for somebody to purchase a home? I know that, to me, that's still low, but I just worry that we're all a little spoiled with this low interest rates, and all this affects the market. It affects all three of us. It affects all of us in general, and I wonder, what direction are these rates? I mean, I have to assume rates are going up. Me and Tom talked about that. But how fast? How fast are they going to go?
And we do see that. And, I mean, Tom, you probably see it more than us, but people are kind of used to hearing a number that has a 4 in front of it, aren't they?
You know, they definitely are. We were just talking before the show that I quoted an incredibly low 4%. It is in the 4 range. And the customer's response was, ugh.
They were disappointed with you.
I immediately said, geez, we are spoiled, aren't we?
Right.
And he said, yeah, we are. That's a good rate. And so if rates do jump up, and we suspect they will at some point, it's going to step the market back a little bit, and everything's going to be kind of put on hold as people adjust to that shock. But then hopefully it levels out, and then that will become the accepted rate.
Yeah, I think it comes down to you know, realistic expectations. And, you know, we are a little spoiled right now, but I think if we're to really sit somebody down, we're going to be able to come up with that realistic expectation and try to figure out where are rates high, and I don't think any of us know that answer, but it is amazing when our three jobs cross paths.
Yeah, well,
we're all concerned about the other guy to make sure that it all works out.
Well, and it's a great point you bring up, and I appreciate that perspective of saying, okay, yeah, the market is done, you know, it's done this well, but what happens on a macro level, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's a lot of money flows that way. and it's hard to attract money to bonds, which you use to lend out. So at some point, they're going to have to raise those rates to attract any money there.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, rates, we know rates are going to go up. There are a lot of retired people on a fixed income that could really use some additional income coming in. In the last 3 or 4 years, they might be digging for, they might be looking for better interest rates because they're just not out there on products such as CDs and government bonds. So is that enough to offset, you know, a higher mortgage rate, or is it, can the market sustain if housing, if mortgage rates go up and housing prices are kind of maybe up a little bit still, is there enough out there to support that market? And that'll be interesting to see next year in 2014, probably even into 2015. This is probably, we're probably jumping the gun on this a little bit, but it's right around the corner.
Well, yeah, and you brought up a good point about some, if you don't reevaluate that portfolio, and I know you've done this with me before, is we look at, you know, our overall portfolio has gone up 25%, but, you know, I know we've looked at it with me before, and you've said, geez, the problem is, though, is your tech sector that you had 30% in has gone, has been 18 of that 25%. Now you're heavy over there. If you want to continue the strategy, we kind of have to
rebalance a little bit, yeah. And, you know, not only that, but we've got everybody in this end-of-the-year review. Part of this is going to be, how's your time horizon? How much time do you have left before you're going to retire? If you already are retired, how's your current income coming in? How are you receiving it? How much is it? Can, you know, does your income need to go up? Part of that yearly review could be setting yourself up for 2014, because what's nice is between the three of us, we can look ahead and we can try to guess the future a little bit. We're not always going to be right, but if we combine everything and really look, we do get a little bit clearer picture. And there are some things we know. Tom mentioned it right away. Interest rates, I don't see them going real far down. They might bounce around for a little bit right here, but in the next couple of years, we've got to prepare for a higher interest rate environment.
Yeah, getting locked in, getting your refis done if for some reason you haven't, or you've been working on your credit to get to the point where you can refi. Getting those rates locked in so you have that low, solid base is definitely a really important thing.
More important than ever, because we may not, I mean, I think Tom would agree here, that the chance of us seeing rates this low again on home mortgages, we might not see it in the next, I don't even want to say it. It could be 20, 30, who knows?
In our careers, yeah. We're definitely
this might be the lowest interest rate environment that we've ever had. So what a perfect time to sit down and review your portfolio and try to plan for the future.
Great information, Garrick. As always, we love having you in to talk about that different side of things. Kind of putting together the show today, we were laughing. We said it's kind of like you look at the Thanksgiving table, and there was a little bit of everything out on the table. And so we thought, gosh, let's do a show and kind of make sure we're not missing any of those side dishes that I enjoy so much.
I like it.
We'll be right back after the break, talk to Tom some more about financing, and then we're going to talk a little bit about all those crazy status signs you see on real estate signs. Sale pending, back on the market, available. Is it for sale or is it not, people?
We'll be talking about that next on News Talk 870.
Today's real estate update. We had a great first segment with Mr. Garrick Russell from Professional Investment Management Services talking to us about what we needed to be doing at the end of the year and with our financial planning. It was crazy to think you hear like the market up 25%. I was like, man, that would have been great in real estate.
Oh yeah,
I'm having trouble getting over that today. So, but we are, one of the things I wanted to talk about here briefly is just a lot of people will call our office and they have different questions because they might call from a sign or be in front of a house, but then call and we're like, well, there's a contract on that house, or that house is under contract. And they're like, what does that mean? And then a lot of times when it really starts to get complicated is there is different shades of under contract that realtors use to speak with each other about that and then let their clients. So the main status that everybody knows, of course, is active. And so sometimes you'll hear people say that house is active. And that just means it's completely available. There's no contracts pending on it, no signed around paperwork. And then the opposite of that is under contract. There's a binding purchase and sale agreement on that house. They are obligated, that buyer and seller, to each other. And at the moment, that contract is solid and pending. It's also known as pending sometimes. Where we really kind of get into the confusion and where people have questions is there is actually three different subcategories of active. There is what is called ATBO, and that stands for Active Under Contract Take Backup Offers. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about? Well, what happens sometimes is in the first 10 days of a contract, there is a major contingencies, like inspection contingency. Maybe a pre-approval letter is required. They're finishing up some stuff on the financing side to make sure that that will go through. The appraisal might not have been ordered yet. So what a lot of agents will do is they will leave it under the status active under contract taking backup offers. It still shows up on public websites. It is still showing active. And a lot of times, but there is a signed around agreement on that house. So you might call on it because you saw it on a website. Maybe you saw it on Zillow or Trulia. And then you call your agent. And you're like, but it's showing active on the website. You know, we take a lot of calls like this every day. And the reason is because as they're still trying to work through those contingencies, the seller and the selling agent still want to be actively marketing that home in case those contingencies fall apart. Say, for instance, the home inspection 3 days later goes terribly wrong. They find a couple things with it that the buyer's not willing to accept. That deal falls apart, they still want that listing to have been marketed during that time frame so they don't lose a buyer. However, that is still a binding contract between that buyer and seller. Unless if the contract falls apart for a contingency or a reason in the contract, they will still be going with that first contract. Now, another status that consumers care more about probably is what's called AWB, and that is active with a bump. What this means is...
So that doesn't mean average white band.
No, that is not what that stands for. Exactly. So what this is that there is an accepted contract on that property, but the buyer can be bumped out of their contractual position. And usually this is dealt with in what's called a pending sale agreement or what's known as a contingent sale. So that means the buyer has made an offer, the seller has accepted those terms, and that contract will go together and be binding once the buyer has sold their home. Well, what happens is that leaves a bump clause, and that means that if the seller gets another offer, they can bump the first buyer out of their position, and then the seller can sell it to the second buyer. However, if the first buyer can continue the transaction without selling their other house, meaning what they would do is they would waive their contingency of selling their other house. They could afford to own both at the same time. Then they can waive that contingency, and the first buyer can go through and execute on that contract. And so what's odd about that situation for buyers and for sellers is you don't always know exactly what the case is. They might have accepted a contingent offer based upon the buyer selling their house, but the buyer very well could afford to buy it without selling their other house. It's just the seller wanted to lock them into the contract. So when you come along and you see a status like that and the agent says, well, there's a pending contract, but they could be bumped. The hard part is, you get really excited about the house emotionally. You think you're going to get it. You write a great offer. They give notice to bump the first buyer out of position. The first buyer has been very intelligent. They have talked with Tom Coyne ahead of time. They've been pre-approved to own two houses at once, and they whip out of their back pocket the magic Tom Coyne pre-approval letter, and they say, sorry, buyer number two, but we're still going to buy the house. And that's a difficult process. Now, the other, 50-60% of the time, the first buyer says, we can't own both houses at once. We're not willing to take that chance, and they will back out. So it's really hard because you don't know what's going to happen. If you're willing to go through that process, write the contracts, that's really the only way that you can figure that out. And then the third active status that gets used is what's called active back on market. And this is kind of like the flashing neon sign to other agents in the market. We had a contract, the house went under contract, but now we're active back on the market. It fell apart. Look at me again, come back. You know, that's kind of what that's telling us. The thing you have to be careful about is not using that status too long, though, because some agents will just search for active. Their clients might say, you know, I don't want to go through the hassle of trying to bump somebody. I did that before, and it didn't work out right for me. I don't want to look at pending. I just want to look at purely actives. And so you really got to be careful when you're searching and working with your agent that you're searching for the right homes that you're willing to make offers on. So many times you will see on signs in front of houses, you will see the sold sign, but the sign stays up for another 20 days, and people are always wondering what's going on. Well, usually that means they are through the inspection period, there is a contract on that house, but it has not closed yet.
Mm.
The other thing that they'll sometimes see is sale pending. So me, and that just kind of tells people as a courtesy, hey, we do have a contract on it. It has not same as sold. It's just a fancier way of saying it, I guess. Well, some people might say less fancy, but use your own opinion. But sale pending, sold, similar statuses as far as agents are concerned. So that's kind of when we talk about status in the MLS, those are some of the terms that get thrown around, and you might hear if you call to check on those properties.
And that's why they need to call you, because sometimes if they see a sold sign, it doesn't necessarily mean it's sold, and they might still have a chance. But if I saw a sign that said sold, oh, that house is off the market.
Exactly right.
It might not be.
And then we can dig into the details of exactly what's going on. And many times there won't be any sign, but there could be a contract pending on it. Some agents don't necessarily put sold signs up because they feel until the contract has sold and closed and finished, they want to generate as many leads and activities they can off those signs. So a lot of times people will call and there won't even be a sold sign on the sign, but we can look that information up for you and verify that. I'm glad to do it. So, Tom, on the lending side, what's going on with you? We got some insight earlier when Garrett was here talking about interest rates and stuff, but what else is going on at Sterling that we need to know about?
Well, you know, with rates hanging low and talking with Garrett, it again, is just a strong indicator that it's a great time to be in the market right now. We think rates are going to go up. We just don't know by how much and how soon, but we know they're low right now. So with that knowledge, it's a really good time to get into the market. But I've been getting a lot of calls lately regarding manufactured home financing, so I figured it'd be a good idea to go over some of the requirements and the guidelines that are set in place in regards to manufactured financing.
And it really is very different than stick-built.
It really is
something you need to call on. So this is, I can't wait to hear.
So maybe in one.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, you got my attention.
The rules are different. So, yeah, hit us with some knowledge there.
So, manufactured homes are generally considered riskier than stick-built homes. So, the additional requirements and the guidelines that are set in place definitely reflect that. We'll finance manufactured homes on conventional FHA and VA financing. Now, there's a few different rules that I'm going to go over that are universal for all programs. The home has to be constructed after June 15th of 1976 in conformance with the federal manufactured home construction and safety standards. That's the date where builders were essentially held to a higher standard of construction on these homes.
Gotcha.
Any home built before June 15th of 76 is going to have a hard time finding financing. I think there are lenders out there. I don't know of any that are here locally, but if you do some research, you might be able to find somebody. We will not do single-wide manufactured homes, so it has to be
double-wide or triple-wide,
thank you. The home must be permanently attached to a foundation, so it cannot just be sitting on its axle or on blocks. A full foundation has to be in place, and on certain programs, we'll actually require an engineer to go out and certify that foundation.
The concrete strips on it like we have.
Yeah, exactly.
Concrete pads.
Yep.
So,
some don't. And so we require that it has that in place, and we'll have to verify that for most programs. The home can only have been moved once, and that's from the dealership to its current location. We won't finance a manufactured home that's been moved more than once. The reason is it just can affect the structural integrity of the home. Now, finally, the title of the manufactured home has to have been eliminated. When a manufactured home comes in, it comes in on a vehicular title because it travels down the road. true. Once it's set in place, we require that the vehicular title is eliminated and the parcel of the land that it's on all become one with the manufactured home. So that's when you have a title elimination. Most of the time, this is already done. A lot of times, listing agents, when they're going to list a home, I'm sure you do the same for a manufactured home, you'll check and make sure the title is eliminated.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit of a process to do. So if you're looking at a house that's already on the MLS, 90% chance that title has been eliminated. Now, for conventional loans, we'll finance up to 80% of the sales price, so clients have to put 20% down. The interest rate will be about 0.375% higher than it would be for stick-built financing, so not too much difference there. And we require a 660 credit score. So stick-built, 620 minimum credit score. You can get in with just 5% down, manufactured 20% down with the 660. So a little bit difference there with the manufactured financing. Now for FHA, we will still allow just 3.5% down. A lot of people who buy manufactured homes use FHA financing. It again requires that 660 credit score. Now finally for VA loans, veteran can get in with 0 down on a manufactured.
Wow.
So it's a great option for somebody. It's definitely the best program we have for manufactured homes. If you're a veteran and you qualify for that program, once again, 660 credit score. That's just a brief overview of the different requirements and guidelines for manufactured homes. There's a lot more that we could dive into. I'd love to chat with you about it. If you're in the market for one, feel free to give me a call. Number here at the office, 783-7300, or visit me on my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
Sounds great, Tom. Thanks for that great information there. Before we run out of time, I want to get in some amazing pick three on the properties, what we have, some changes, and some new listings out there. The first one is a major price difference that one of our sellers has made. We've been on the market here just a little bit. This is a beautiful home, 130 Edgewood Drive in Richland. So that's 130 Edgewood Drive, sits up there in Hills West. This has an in-ground pool, hot tub, a new roof, a brand new heat pump, 3 bed, 3 bath, plus a bonus room. Stunning, stunning location in Hills West. This house is huge, 3,800 square feet, master on the main floor, big wraparound deck. I mean, this house really has it all. Some of the early feedback we got from a couple of showings was that it needed some work. We were priced at $265,000. The seller says, I can agree with that feedback. He has made a $15,000 price drop in an already well-priced home in Hills West. He's now at $250,000, just reduced the price $15,000. So that's $250,000, South Richland, Hills West, 3,800 square feet with a pool. You're not dreaming. Dial the phone. Okay, so it does need some work, and he's priced that into the price, though, so that somebody has that opportunity to get this location, make the house what they want it to be as they make that work. So I wanted to get that out there right away. Two other great new listings that we just picked up, 6504 West Yellowstone in Kennewick. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath. 1,460 square feet. They've gone through and they've totally redone this house. Updated the kitchen, fresh paint, brand new air duct system, new heat pump, hardwood floors, tile floors, carpet, situated on a quarter acre, and it has a little art studio in the back, separate structure with heat, two rooms back there. Is a great either, you know, just fun playroom, or I think it would make an amazing little art studio back there for somebody. And so this house is priced at $137,000. And Yellowstone there runs just kind of right off of Columbia Center Boulevard, so just right back there, close to kind of the hub of everything. Great, great opportunity for a house that's been completely updated inside. Last one, pick number three. This would make either a great starter home, great investment. This is a 3-bed, 1-bath Rambler. It's on a huge corner lot in Central Pasco, 1,044 square feet, beautiful tile floors in the kitchen, extended driveway for RV parking, fully fenced yard, and this is priced to sell at $95,000. Just fantastic. And that's located at 2010 Riverview Drive in Pasco. And so some amazing, amazing options right now. Like, I'm super excited about those listings. If anybody is out there, wants to take a look at any of those, give us a call direct on my cell phone, 727-8977. I'd love to show it to you. Might be a little chilly in the mornings, but there's still great houses to buy out there right now. And if you're willing to get out there and look, there's some really good deals. So, KenMoreTeam.com. If you have any questions, need to go ahead and send us an inquiry, please feel free, my cell phone, or just go to KenMoreTeam.com, shoot us a message. And Tom, we'll be right back here again next week, working hard in December.
Right here on News Talk 870.